Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you on this Thursday. It is November 12th, 2020, and what a time it is. Today, we're going to go through scripture. We're going to talk about false prophets. We're going to talk about false doctrine. And the purpose behind it is to begin to learn how to recognize what is really a deception, what is perpetrated, what is purposeful deceit as compared to what is true, what is intended by God to be spoken into the heart and mind of his people. And we have this book called the Bible, and we should be able to navigate pretty clearly about what is false doctrine, dogma, teaching. Okay, and I think it's important because of the times that we're living in. You know, on an average day, on a normal day, you know, somebody's picking up their Bible, they're doing a little Bible study, they, you know, they want to know about this thing that they've heard about, they've seen it on television. You know, what is this pre-tribulational rapture doctrine, which is a teaching? And, you know, people that have heard the most wonderful people, the expositories giving, you know, and the teaching and how this is something that is viable to our faith in Christ. Well, you know, I want to study the Bible. I want to know more about this pre-tribulational rapture. What does it mean? What does it entail? When does it happen? What is it? And how does it fit into my life as a believer living in these days? What about this doctrine called once saved, always saved? What does that mean? Where does that come from? How was that doctrine, dogma, teaching consistent in the Bible? What about the idea that the Holy Spirit does not activate and operate in the life of believers anymore today? What is this understanding that what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Is it simply a seal upon my life, but the gift of the Holy Spirit and the operations and manifestations of the Spirit no longer exist in my life? What is this teaching? Am I not supposed to expect the Holy Spirit to unction me, to function as a member of the body? And am I to be afraid of things like tongues and interpretation of tongues and miracles, signs, wonders, prophecy, et cetera, et cetera? What exactly is false doctrine? And then prophets, people who proclaim to speak for God and bring a message to the people of God. And we have to thoroughly examine this because I believe it always goes down to the intent of the heart. You know, sometimes people believe something that's true, whether it's teaching a particular doctrine, and they're well-intended. They're just short-sighted if it's not true. There are people that believe they're getting a message from God. Jonah certainly believed he had a message from God. He spoke that message 40 days. And yet, because of the people's response, things changed. There are areas that we have to really look at when it comes to studying this out. And we certainly don't want to just blatantly, you know, begin to throw stones and accusations. But I think it's important that we understand the biblical reality about false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, false doctrine in the last days, because the Bible is very clear that there will be tons of it. There are going to be tons and tons of doctrines being taught that are not consistent with the simple, pure Word of God. We want to understand what they are. We want to understand and uncover and reveal what is the truth about the times that we're living in. What is the true teaching that promotes the righteousness that God intended for his people and all creation, quite frankly. So we're going to dive into that today. There's a little bit of news that we need to cover. First of all, you know that there is a rally this Saturday, and everybody should be fully aware of this by now. On Saturday in Washington, D.C., there is a gathering together. I've been looking at it on the Twitter feeds and going into Facebook, and it's growing. And there are different groups that are forming, and there are people that are going to Washington, D.C. this Saturday. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because on Saturday in this gathering, it was what I was actually preaching this past weekend at our church because of 1 Kings chapter 1, how Adonijah was setting himself up to be the next king in Israel, but it wasn't really ordained. And so when they went, Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet, to King David to tell him what Adonijah had done, David got up out of his his tiredness, and he said, this is what we're going to do. Solomon is supposed to be the king. And so they rallied the people together, brought him down to Gihon, and they anointed him to be the king, brought him back, set him on the throne of David, and that was it. That was the done deal. And what I said this weekend in my preaching after hearing this was that we all who voted for Donald J. Trump need to recognize that there is voter fraud. I think Tucker Carlson did an amazing job last night in exposing the voter fraud. And I think there's a lot of fraudulent activity, and the deceptive news media, talk about false prophets, the deceptive news media is putting out spin on these masses, a deception again. Hey, it's over. Let's go on. Let's get on business. And, you know, that's what you do when you're putting a, you know, smoke over someone, or you're trying to blind somebody. You do something and say, come on, let's go. And you, in this way, if you just, it's like playing a game of chess, right? You make a move and then you just insist, let's just go on, or something like that. You don't want people to pay attention. Well, people are now paying attention. And I felt very strongly last weekend that the only right thing to do, a proper response from the body of Christ and a proper response for the people that voted for Donald J. Trump, which is nearing 71 million people, that they need to go down to Washington, D.C., Gihon, if you will, and they need to anoint the president. We, the people of the United States, need to inaugurate and ordain him to be the true person to sit upon the throne, so to speak, in Washington, D.C., not as a dictator, not as a king, but as a president of the United States, because of the fraudulent activities of the left. And unfortunately, much of the left is so absolutely corrupted, so absolutely defiled, that we are actually listening to people that are inwardly corrupt, inwardly defiled, inwardly depraved beyond repair, some of them, because of their absolute refusal and rebellion. They have become reprobate. In other words, their mind, their soul, is not useful to the Lord at all. They have become enemies of God, enemies of the cross, participate in the very sins that God called an abomination. And these are the people that are pushing for the left. So I believe that the only right thing to do for me personally is to go to Washington, D.C. this weekend. And so I am planning to make the trip. I have already talked with Pastor in Virginia, only 35 miles away from the Washington, D.C. He has given us an okay to come and park and utilize the parking lot of their gathering place so that we can make an easy entrance into Washington, D.C. It, from where I am, 17-hour to 18-hour drive, probably going to have three or four guys go with me at this point, for a lot of people don't have the time to do it for one reason or another. And yet for me, if I'm preaching, we all need to gather down there, and all of a sudden I look up the next day and there's this big gathering and I do not participate in that, you know, I think that's a little hypocritical of me. So I'm going to sacrifice my weekend with my wife and our church and our rest day of a Shabbat Shalom. And I believe to go and show up and step into an environment and whatever God wants to do, no plans, just take our little computer. We'll be doing some recording from Washington, D.C. on Facebook and YouTube. You'll be able to join us. We'll keep you as much informed. But I thought this was a time that in the critical moment of our nation, that this would be the right thing to do. And whatever opposition comes, whether it's the mayor of Washington, D.C. saying, well, we don't want outsiders coming into D.C. Of course you wouldn't. I mean, my goodness gracious. And then, you know, the fears out there, well, the Proud Boys and Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you know, are they going to clash? And there's little signposts on Twitter to BLM and Antifa, don't oppose them. We've already won the election. Don't worry about it. Let there be no rioting. And people get concerned about that. I certainly am not wanting to step into an environment of rioting and fighting, but I also don't want to be kept away from an environment that I think is necessary to the promotion of what is right because of fear of what people can do. I've always believed that you should choose your battles carefully. I always believe that you should be patient and stand in faith, and that the motive of your heart for doing something should be motivated by God and God alone. And so for me, the motivation is what I preached this last weekend, what's available this weekend. I'm going to step into that environment. I would encourage everybody, 71 million people, if I could, to go there and to make your stand and to make your voice heard and to declare the falsehood of what the left has obviously done. And it is an absolute nightmare. Somebody needs to spank the left, including what they're doing with the COVID-19, their continual use of it. Man, it needs to get spanked. And I don't know how Father God would do that, but I do know this is what we are going to do. I'm going to do, and I've invited a few friends to go with me. I invited our whole church. I'm going to continue to invite all the men and even the women if they want to come to this environment, step into it, and we'll have a road trip and we'll do what we got to do. And I'm very thankful for Pastor Jeff Bass in Virginia, who's going to allow us to kind of park in an area where we don't have to be driving through Washington, D.C. I've been there many times, and you really, it's very difficult to find parking places and stuff like that. So we'd rather get into a bus or an Uber or, you know, something, maybe just however God wants to do it, in a tunnel, maybe a train or whatever, into D.C. and be there and speak up and speak out, to stand shoulder to shoulder with there are many patriots. You know, I am a patriot of the kingdom of heaven. And yet, as salt and light within our nation, and because of this moment in time, I believe it's the right thing to do. So that's what we're going to be doing. Listen to this, just a little bit of a news report. talk about poking God in the eye. Kamala Harris vows to fund Israel's enemies. Now, you already know that if Joe Biden is elected into the office, his first point of business, open the borders. He wants to bring in the illegal immigrants from south of the border. He wants to bring the Muslims that have had a travel ban. He wants to open and release the travel ban, bring them into the country. At the meantime, Kamala Harris is vowing to fund Israel's enemies. In an interview with the Arab American News 2 weeks ago, Kamala Harris explicitly stated that she was committed to creating a Palestinian state inside the borders of Israel with its capital in Jerusalem, while limiting the number of Jews permitted to live in Judea and Samaria. The interview came during a previous campaign stop in Dearborn, Michigan, home to 40,000 Arab Americans and the largest Muslim population in the United States per capita. She said, Joe and I believe in the worth and value of every Palestinian and every Israeli, and we will work to ensure that Palestinians and Israelis enjoy equal measures of freedom, security, prosperity, and democracy. This is what she said. We are committed to a two-state solution, and we will oppose any unilateral steps that undermine that goal. End of quote. We will also oppose, in the next part of the quote, annexation and settlement expansion, and we will take immediate steps to restore economic and humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian people, address the ongoing humanitarian crises in Gaza, reopen the U.S. consulate in East Jerusalem, and work to reopen the PLO mission in Washington. The PLO mission was closed after the organization violated its obligation to Congress not to target Israel at the International Criminal Court. The Trump administration was obligated by law to close the office once the Palestinians announced their plans to take Israel's officials to the ICC. Did you know that there was an International Criminal Court already established in our world? Talk about globalization, right? Well, Joe Biden has stated a commitment to these goals as well. Neither has stated any concessions that would be expected from the Palestinians in return. Harris ended her interview with a commitment that has hidden connotations. Here's the quote. If elected, she said, we will show the same commitment to outreach and engagement in the White House as we seek to restore America's leadership around the world, including by appointing a special envoy to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which includes many Arab countries, Harris said. Now, the OIC is an international organization founded in 1969, consisting of 57 member states with a collective population over 1.8 billion. The OIC supports a two-state solution, boycotting Israel, cutting ties with any state that recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel or that moves its embassy to its environs. In 2018, the OIC condemned the U.S. for moving its embassy to Jerusalem. Well, in March of 2018, the Turkish daily Yeni Safak, a media outlet which is closely affiliated with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his ruling AKP party, published an article titled A Call for Urgent Action, which also appeared on the paper's website under the title What If an Army of Islam Was Formed Against Israel? Well, the article called on the 57 member states of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or the OIC, to form a joint army of Islam to besiege and attack the state of Israel. The article went into specifics describing in detail how such an army would overwhelm the Jewish state. If the OIC member states unite and form a joint military force, it will be the largest army in the world, the article said. These countries' total population is 1,674,526,931. The number of soldiers in active service in these countries is at least 5,206,100. Their overall military defense budget is $174 million. $174 billion, and it's also worthy of emphasis. So, though Erdogan is not officially the head of the OIC, the organization frequently meets in Istanbul. 3 months later, he chaired a summit of OIC leaders. Under his direction, the OIC released a statement calling for an international force to protect the Palestinians. The call came again or after several were killed by the IDF while trying to breach the security fence separating Israel from Gaza during the Hamas-led March of Return riots. So the OIC has called for international protection of the Palestinian population, including through dispatching of international protection force. And the OIC statement also lashed out at the United States, saying that Washington was complicit in the actions of Israel against the Palestinians. End of article. Now, what does this actually mean? It's pretty clear in our country that the divide is a massive divide. And it is so abundantly clear, no matter what the propaganda says, that there are basically two parties within our nation. And one of those parties has gone to such an extreme to validate what is dangerous to a republic, to a democracy, to a Judeo-Christian ethic, to a nation whose foundation is a constitution that has built within it the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, the gospel is an outreach to all the nations of the earth. There's no doubt about that. And this United States of America has opened its borders to allow all nations. But when the nations come in illegally, when there's a stealth jihad, which we were told plainly by Islamic terrorists like Waleed Shubat, who came to America to bring destruction, that we have heard over and over again that the political stealth jihad to get the Ilhan Omars in position, they're not here to participate in the values of a Judeo-Christian nation. They are here with the Islamic understanding to overthrow the infidels, to work. Now, they knew they couldn't do it in an all-out invasion. So for many, many years, we were told by Islamic terrorists who got born again and began to serve the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is going on in our country? So we know that the homosexual agenda, we know that the radical left, the communistic socialist agenda in our nation, we know the people in high-powered positions that hate God, that hate Jesus Christ, are not what America intended to be the leaders of the nation. I believe it's happening because of judgment, obviously. I cry out against that and say, wow, what a problem it is. But I also know that the right in America, the conservatives, the church, we surrendered our calling to be watchmen, to be a compass to our nation, to declare what is right and wrong, to condemn what is wrong, and to extol what is right. Well, we didn't do that. And so we have capitulated, we have tolerated, we have consensually gone along with the program, we have quieted down, we have learned how to, you know, merge in together, a total abandonment of what we are to be doing. So I believe it's judgment, but you need to understand that while right now there are tens of millions of Christian Americans that are waking up and calling to God for help, a last cry, a supplication to the King of Heaven, dear God, help us. I'm not so sure it's going to work. I'm not a part of that crowd. My eyes are on Jesus, but in salt and light, and as an American citizen, I always want to say what is right. And if there are tens of millions of Christian Americans and conservatives and patriots in the country that don't want to have this fraudulent election, then we need to stand up and do something. But again, to me, it's a sign of judgment. But understand, Kamala Harris is more left than Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden is a puppet to the radical left. There's no doubt about these things. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. So the question is, while all these things are coming, CNN is making it very clear, don't you dare leave your house and celebrate Thanksgiving with your family. CNN is telling everybody, just act like there is no Thanksgiving. Sure, the same news network that is telling the church, you know, 6 foot social distancing with masks in a church doesn't work, because when you sing, it releases aerosols and it's a violent spreader. Ladies and gentlemen, they don't want the church to gather. They don't want Thanksgiving in America because that stirs a deep sentiment of the values of what America really stood for. They don't want that. To them, that's rhetoric. That is anti-socialist, anti-communistic, their agenda. You don't want a sentimentality to come together and families gather together. You don't want the church to gather together. You want to keep everybody home and threaten them with a coronavirus that's going to surge around the nation and then put something in the atmosphere to tell people, now, if you're not smelling right, if you're not tasting right, you better go to the hospital and get tested. You've got it. And so all these people are capitulating because of fear, and they're getting, oh, yeah, I'm not smelling. I better get tested. And then all the tests are telling everybody you're positive. Man, if you're not yet walking in the intelligence of the scriptures and the Holy Spirit, and you're going to go along with the rhetoric of the radical left, that's the one promoting this stuff for the most, my God, that's not intelligent. There's a lot going on, a little bit of time. We've got to find out what's happening in our country today. So what is it that we want to talk about today? What is it that we want to talk about today? Praise God. That was just a little opener. I want to talk about what the Bible talks about. And I want to begin today by going to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And what I want to do is just bring scriptures right now and allow the Word of God to penetrate our heart, to penetrate our mind. We're not pointing fingers. We're becoming aware that the Word of God tells us, and I guess the better way to start this rather than going directly into Jeremiah is by reading out of 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not." So before I get into the rest of what Peter was writing, this is consistent. Jesus said it would be. The Apostle Paul said it would be. The apostles, everywhere. In the last days, there would be a plethora. There would be a mass of false prophets. What are they doing? Denying the lordship of Jesus Christ that bought them. In other words, people would be preaching a gospel that would deny what Jesus did is enough. There would be people that would tell people all kinds of strange doctrines. In the last days, Paul, writing to Timothy, said, in the last days, there'll be doctrines of demons. And he goes into detail about what those doctrines of demons are. And then we just know that with the false prophets, they will be preaching lies. And we need to get behind the scenes and say, well, what is the biggest lie that false prophets tell? What is the consistent biblical, theological doctrine teaching? What do false prophets tell the people? What message do they send the majority of the time? Well, let's go take a brief look, and then we'll go into other detail. So in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 8, "The priest," plural, "said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit." Okay, let's see if we could build on this theme. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 9. "And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder in that day." Chapter 5, verse 13, Jeremiah 5, 13. "And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them." Verse 31 of Jeremiah 5. "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?" So the prophets are prophesying falsely and the people love it that way. What could we possibly be talking about? Why would the people love the prophet prophesying something that's not right. Well, let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 14. And in Jeremiah 14, 13 to 15, it says this, "Then said I, Jeremiah, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, You shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoke unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, verse 15, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed." Let's move on just a little bit further to Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 9 to 13. And here's what it says. I'm going to read this whole thing. Jeremiah 23, 9. "My heart within me is broken, says the true prophet Jeremiah, because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways. In the darkness, they shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to error. You wonder how much error is in the land today. Have you ever stopped to really think about it? Let's go on to chapter 23. And I wanted to, I've been there from 9 to 13, but let's just listen to the rest of Jeremiah 23. And I'll pick it up again in verse 14. Listen carefully. "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." You know and I know that true prophets of God always call God's people to repentance if there's sin. You know that a true prophet living in America in this day and age, with the atmosphere of our nation, the condition of our nation, no true prophet is going to bless the people and preach peace and safety. You know, a true prophet, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets that we have in the scriptures, if they walk through the land of America today, the Judeo-Christian nation, their message would not be by Baal. They would not be prophesying smooth things to get things from the people. The people would, you know, would not love the words of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel as they did the false prophets. Let's go on just a little bit further. In verse 15 of Jeremiah 23, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, and from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord has said, You shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, No evil shall come upon you." You see, this is what you're going to find from Genesis to Revelation is really what is described in the majority of Scripture, what it means to be a false prophet, carrying a false message. The message will always be wrapped in prosperity, feel good, tickle my ears, scratch my back, Tell me what I want to hear. We will prop up pastors and teachers and prophets, and we will pay them large sums of money for them to say, God bless America. God bless the church in America. And yet the condition of our nation is so rank with rebellion and sin and schizophrenia and bipolarism. How could this be? But it's been around for a very, very long time. Here's what he says. In verse 18, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Who really has heard the true words of God is the question. Verse 19, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them. Then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Profound. Profound. The thing that concerns me about the condition of America today, the condition of the church in America today, when prophets, you know, there are a lot of people in this country that millions of Christians refer to as prophets. Okay? They will call them prophet so-and-so and prophet so-and-so and prophet so-and-so. And the majority of the prophetic networking in the United States that came out of the 1980s, the 1990s, the year 2000, this prophetic community, the prophets, there are websites designated for the prophetic words of God to be on there. The majority of the words of the quote-unquote prophets in America have been soothsaying prophecies. Always the same thing as what we're reading right now. America is great. America will win. America is blessed. America will see no problem. America, America. And they prophesy to the church in America. Meanwhile, in all sincerity, just being fair and honest, we're drowning in perdition as a nation. Churches close up all over this country. But the network has to keep itself going. And right now, the network of the prophets throughout our nation are in a life and death battle, not for the soul of America as much as their own reputation. That is the truth. They're fighting for their reputation because right now, millions of Christians that have followed the prophetic networking in America that have soothsayed and prophesied just like what Jeremiah is talking about, telling people they're not going to see any trouble, and yet what is our country in? It's been in trouble. Is it going into deeper trouble? Yes, it is. And so the prophetic community is fighting, prophesying, praying for their own reputation. But it may be the time of God lifting the skirt and showing that something got off, way off. And the people have been feeding on lies. And part of those lies within that prophetic community also coincide with the doctrine of you're never going to see a day of trouble, church in America. America is God's country. You're never going to see a problem. Because if the day of trouble comes, you're going to disappear in a pre-tribulational rapture. And don't worry about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Don't worry about those scriptures that many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, because once saved is always saved. You believe in Jesus, you prophesy, you heal the sick, you do the works of Jesus, you're in. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't worry about those New Testament scriptures that talk about your name being erased out of the Book of Life. You know, don't get into that kind of stuff about the great falling away, the love of many waxing cold, many believers hating one another, betraying one another. Don't worry about those. Just know that we got you covered. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to America. You're never going to see any problems. You're going to go to heaven regardless how you live. Don't worry about it. Trouble comes, you're in a pre-trib rapture. We've got you covered. And we're going to continue to speak lies and say how wonderful everything is now. Well, that is about to be confronted. And time is going to tell. What is the truth? Because every single person that prophesied that Donald Trump will have a two-term election, they are now fighting for that word, whether it's true or not. And everybody's going to know. But I do know this about prophecy, and we go on here. I want to just pick it up in verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. If they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from their evil of their doings. Well, what evil would go on in the church, for goodness sake? How about the abortions? How about homosexuality? How about lesbianism? How about pornography? How about all kinds of sins that are going on in the house? Gossip and pride and slander and backbiting and doctrines that cause divisions. How about all the wickedness that's going on in the church? And then you say, well, we don't do that. No, but your denomination embraced homosexuality, abortion, and pornography. And rather than bringing a spearhead to convict and to penetrate and to bring brokenness and repentance, we coddled them and told them, oh, you're hurting their feelings. Don't hurt their feelings. They're, you know, leave that alone. There's no word of God. And because of that kind of capitulation, it's just not good. Now, he says in verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. In other words, true prophets dream dreams. No doubt about it. But these false prophets were dreaming dreams, causing the people to forget the ways of the Lord. Like humble brokenness, take up your cross, follow the Lord, repent of all sin, turn away from everything that is evil and wicked, touch not the unclean thing, get yourself broken, fall upon the rock, pick, you know, just the hardcore gospel message that we're going against the flow of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're in it, but we're not of it. We use it, we don't abuse it. We're going against it. We don't participate in it. We're not like them. We're born again. We're new creatures. We're a new species of mankind. We don't live like them. We don't talk like them. And yet so much of what's going on in the church has been an absolute merging. And so God is saying, I've heard what they've said with their dreams. In verse 28, the prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is God speaking, saying, this is what my word is. My word is like fire. My word is like a hammer. And you're living in an environment that the people have been so immersed in lukewarmness and mixture that a true fiery hammer word unnerves them. They can't bear to hear it anymore, the true words of God. And yet the Bible and the New Covenant declares people are going to wake up and realize their name was blotted out of the book of life. They're not even going to know it. They are not saved. They are not going to heaven. They are not. Because nobody told them about the way to live as a true believer. Not under rigid legalism, but by the Spirit of the living God, which is more powerful than legalism will ever be. When you and I were given the Holy Spirit, do you understand the weighty responsibility that we received to follow the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be directed by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, counseled by the Holy Spirit? You have the Spirit of God in you. That is more weighty than keeping some external laws on a book somewhere. The Holy Spirit is to be your guide. And I think we have lessened the weightiness of the responsibility so that we're not a people that can say, I have the Holy Spirit, I'm going to heaven, but we're not led by the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit lead people? He led Jesus into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. He led Paul the apostle into the wilderness for 14 years to be transformed and to be broken and to learn something higher than what he had always known. Paul didn't need to go into the desert for 14 years to study the old Mosaic law. He went there to study Holy Spirit revelation, prophecy fulfilled, and to understand the new covenant. Oh my goodness. So you have the Holy Spirit. When's the last time the Holy Spirit led you, convicted you, pricked you in your heart? How much of a relationship do you have with the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that all darkness, evil, wickedness grieves the Holy Spirit? You can't watch pornography and be okay with it and say you have the Holy Spirit. You can't commit fornication and say it's okay and have the Holy Spirit. You'll just go to church, go to the altar, say I'm sorry, and then do it again. You can't just keep sinning against the Holy Spirit and not have any compunction. There's something wrong there. Well, the false prophets, you see what the people were feeding on? Were the false prophets' messages. And rather than listening to the Spirit of God that was in the true prophets and the people knowing, yeah, that's the Word of God. That's the fire. That's the hammer. That's the Word that's going to turn my heart and bend me like steel. And I want to follow that word because I love that word. No, the people said, I don't want that word. I want smooth things. I want you to tell me everything I want to hear right now. Okay? Dangerous. Now, in this New Testament, I believe there are prophets. I believe there are apostles. And I believe there are pastors and teachers and evangelists. And they carry a message from the throne of heaven. But there are true ones and there are false ones. And the false ones will always do what the false ones have always done. Peace and safety, even if your walk with the Lord is going in the opposite direction than when it should be. He continues on and he says in verse 30, Jeremiah 23:30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. And that's a lot of plagiarism. You know, one man says this and 40 people take hold of it and use it and send it forth as the word that they got. And God says, no, they're stealing my words. They're using my words. You know what the devil did when Jesus was in the wilderness? One of the temptations was he took him to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and said, throw yourself down. Because the word of God says that his angels will capture you before you fall and you won't stub your toe upon a stone. The devil was perverting terribly the word of God to get Jesus to do something that would never have been intended. False prophets take God's word and pervert it and use it for their own agenda. He goes on, verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to error by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I will tell you that all prophets right now are dreaming dreams. People everywhere are dreaming dreams. There are false and there are true dreams. I could tell you that the prophetic network that's been prophesying lies for a very long time, soothsaying the people of God in a theology that has nothing to do with the truth of God's word, they're having dreams too. And all those dreams are directed towards one end. Donald Trump is going to win a second term. Do you hope they're right? I hope they're right. I mean, just on a personal level of living in this country, I hope they're right, because I happen to know that the environment in America, if that doesn't happen, spiritually speaking, is going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And that vexed the righteous soul of Lot every day of his life. And that the vexation that will come through the new laws, my God, so one of the things I have to do is remember, regardless, I have to keep my head in the heavens. I have to keep my eyes on King Jesus, and I have to walk my walk. There's 70 some odd million people and more in this country that don't want Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to take the presidency because of what they stand for: abortion, homosexuality, open borders, opening the door to the enemies of America. They want to begin to put people on a list who voted for Donald Trump to persecute them. They are vile. They are antichrist. They are wicked. They are reprobate in their mind because they refuse to give God the glory. And they're going to rule things in this country. They're outspoken homosexuals, lesbians, pedophiles, in positions of power, transvestites sitting on benches, judging. How is that possible? I don't want to live in that. Do you? No. So naturally, I don't want Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to touch that. I want these other prophets that are prophesying a two-term presidency to be right. I want them to be right. But I know the time will tell. Pastor Dana Coverstone, he dreamed dreams. I had a dream a year ago about Joe Biden winning the election. Everybody's dreaming. What is true? What is true? I'm going to actually go and fight, if you will, to support Donald Trump being the president. That's how sincere I am about wanting them to be right. Naturally, spiritually, from another perspective, I'm concerned. And I think there are a lot of other people that are concerned. And what is my concern? My concern has always been one and the same. And if it weren't a concern, then I would shut this off and I would go about and do the things in life that, you know, people do. My concern has always been one and the same: that people will not be ready or prepared for the level of satanic violence in the atmosphere and will not make it through to the end. My concern has always been about people falling away in deception. Yes, I have been spiritually paranoid about being deceived, because so much of God's word warns us about being deceived. Anybody could be deceived. Even the elect of God could be deceived. So we're wrestling with ideas from the word of God. He said there will be false prophets, false teachers. And I'm not finding a consistent theme in the word of God from the beginning to the end that false prophets were the people that were warning people against their sin. It never shows up that when a prophet stood up and warned people to repent, repent, or else trouble's going to come. You don't see that as a consistent theme coming from false prophets. But what you do see as a consistent theme is peace and safety. No trouble, no harm. Don't worry about it. Don't listen to those gloomers and doomers. It's been around from the beginning of time. my job to sit in front of a camera and a microphone is to passionately declare what I see. I do not claim to be a prophet. I've been called that by people. I actually entertained the idea some time ago because so many people were saying, you're a prophet. I do not claim to be a prophet. I've had people tell me you're a watchman. I claim to be one thing, and that's a son of God Almighty. I claim to be a son. But as a son of God, I read the scriptures. I'm a preacher. I'll take this word to the ends of the earth. I've studied this word for 38 years, and I'm still a student. I've got a lot to learn. I've seen the battle go on, and I'm just looking through a biblical lens and saying, well, what is it here? What is the truth? It says in verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, cause my people to error by their lies and by their lightness. By their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? You shall say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall be you mentioned no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God, perverted his words, turned them into a lie, twisted them. That's done not just in the prophetic, thus saith the Lord, what's coming. It's also the message that's given to the body of Christ. And I think a lot of people listening right now say, well, what is the perverted word of God? Well, you've got 42,000 different denominations in the world today. That's what they tell us, 42,000. You have a divided church because of messages that have been taught that cannot be consistent with, well, we could still walk with these. No, they're divisive. So what is the truth? What is this perversion? Somebody's perverted the word of God. Somebody's told things that aren't true about God's word. The message they're speaking is not the truth. What might that be? Verse 38 says, but since you say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Wow. You know, we've been talking about the reproach being removed from the lives of God's kids so that we could stand confident and bold in the last days. Jeremiah 26, 78, 7 and 8. Jeremiah 26, 7 and 8 says it this way. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, you shall surely die. Now, let's talk about that. Why is it always, whether it's Isaiah being cut in half, whether it's King Ahab looking for Elijah to kill him, or Jeremiah, the people hearing his words, you're going to die, we're going to kill you. Why are the true prophets of God always hated by the people of God? Have you ever asked yourself that question? America has sinned against God. Agreed? The Christian church in America is not representing the mind of God to the nation. Do you agree? Doctrines that have been preached in our generation are not consistent with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you agree? The pre-tribulational rapture, they made millions of dollars selling their books and movies. It's not in the Bible. The very premise that they use, the foundation for their teaching, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It has nothing to do with a pre-tribulational rapture. The idea of, I believe in Jesus, and that's it. Nothing else could ever happen. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. That's not what the Bible says. Once saved, always saved. And yet people actually wrestle these doctrines. They hate the true word of God. A nation of people that have been dumbed down and become numb to the truth of God, all they want to know is, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I want to live my best life now, I want to have prosperity, material wealth, I'm under grace so I don't have to worry about my conduct and character and holiness and righteousness. And what's the need of picking up a cross and dying to self? I'm living for self. I'm feeding off of prosperity and materialism for self. And I always use the excuse, well, it's for other people. It's for other people. Really? Okay. Well, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. A few more verses here. Verses 11 and 16 in Jeremiah 26. Then spoke the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Oh my God, Jeremiah, you prophesied against Washington, D.C.? You prophesied against the United States? How could you prophesy against Israel? How could you prophesy against Jerusalem? How could you do that? This is a crime punishable by death. We have the Egyptians. We have the book, the Torah. We have the temple. We have the priests. How dare you speak against America? How dare you speak against the church in America? This is what they said. This is the consistency of false prophets. Their message is always this. Always. Verse 16 again says, then said the princes and the people unto the priests and to the prophets, and they said it to the prophets that were prophesying lies. This man, the true prophet, Jeremiah, is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. So now there's some people coming alongside and saying, nope, he's saying the truth. Chapter 27, verse 9. Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Don't listen to them. Remember, this was moments away from 40 years of prophetic utterances by Jeremiah the prophet that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The temple was going to be destroyed. The people were going to be scattered to the ends of the earth. They refused to hear him for an entire generation. Now the time of their collapse was coming. But the false prophets went into high gear saying, no, 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 no. We're going to win this thing. We're going to be okay. You know what terrifies me more than anything? Are all the words of the prophets that have been spoken for 60 years in America from the Dimitri Dudemans and the David Wilkersons and the multitudes of others who warned our nation about being in the direction we're in right now. What do their words just disappear without being fulfilled? I don't believe so. I actually believe that the collapse of the United States of America is one linchpin away. It's here. The doorknob has turned. The door is cracked open, and it's coming. We've got to brace and focus and understand. And then the final scripture I want to give is in verse 14. of Jeremiah 27. Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. You know what serving the king of Babylon would be like right now? Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, George Soros, and every other left-wing, radical, socialist, communistic, Islamic agenda against the United States coming to power. Well, whether agree or disagree, that's the word. What are false prophets? I could read to you in Ezekiel. I could read to you in the New Testament. They're always prophesying peace and safety. They put out a false hope to the people. Even in the midst of rank conditions, they tell everybody it's going to be okay. I'm not so sure everything is okay. And I'm not so sure everything's going to be okay. And yet, I'm going to Washington, D.C. to stand shoulder to shoulder the fraudulent ballot because I hope that Donald Trump will be the president. How would I do that? Am I double-minded? No. Work while there's light, because the time of darkness will come when no man will be able to work. We have done our job in preparing, and we're going to continue to prepare more and more and more for the inevitable collapse of the United States and get ready for the mark of the beast so that we're out of the way and we don't have to submit to that. We're doing what we've been told to do in preparation, but we also, while we are here and have opportunity to be salt and light, we need to be. I call that balance. But what do you call it? Mamma mia, that's an open, loaded question. So anyways, where would you like to go? I've got a number of people calling in right now. We're going to go ahead and begin to take some calls. The lines are open, 818-369-0326. Let's take this number or this call. This is a very unfamiliar number. I haven't seen this one before. Area code 760. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor V. Thank you so much for taking my call. First of all, thank you so much for that word. It was absolutely amazing and exactly what I needed to hear today.
Well, thank you. And who is this that's calling in?
My name is Sarah. I'm actually a newer listener to your show. I stumbled across your show a few weeks ago, and it's been such a blessing to me.
Welcome, Sarah. It looks like 760 is kind of a San Diego number, maybe Escondido area.
Yep. San Diego. That's right.
All right. Great.
Well, I had a couple questions for you. First of all, one kind of tying into what you were speaking on today, and then the second one touches on what you were speaking on yesterday as far as the COVID vaccination.
Okay.
So the first one is you were speaking about lukewarmness. And last night I was reading in Revelation when Jesus was talking to the churches. And I had a question. So if somebody is lukewarm, maybe, you know, isn't in the word all the time, but prays and lives a life that reflects their faith, you know, like maybe they've had a bad experience in church, you know, with all the hypocrisy, are they... like, will their names be blotted out if they're not in the word all the time, maybe not on fire for Christ, but like still live a life that reflects him? Because I have, you know, a number of friends and family that are in that camp. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
Okay. First of all, while you're talking, my heart aches for that condition because, you know, I've been a believer for 38 years. I've had one pastor in my life, and I've only belonged to one ecclesia. And Patricia and I grew out of that, and you know, we've done our work and started churches across the country. I hear a lot about church abuse, where people have been literally abused and turned off, and it breaks my heart. And I have to believe that God understands that condition. I don't think we could utilize that as an excuse and the encouragement to the person that's been hurt with the church and by the church. It's been happening from the beginning of time. That we still need to have a personal, intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We do need to study the word and obey the word. We need to follow the word. And we can't just be Christians in word only. Our heart needs to love Jesus Christ and know that Jesus Christ doesn't abuse his church. He disciplines, he reproves, he rebukes, but there's a lot of satanic demonic activity. So when I hear something like this, my heart just says, Lord, reach out to those individuals that are in that condition, But I usually don't think that people that have been wounded and hurt by believers or whatever, that they are purposely just looking for an excuse to be lukewarm. They just maybe are wounded and need to be built up.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Perfect. Thank you for that. And then the other was, well, I guess actually, you know what, you were kind of talking about, you know, wars and rumors of wars. I wanted to ask you, do you think that the seals have been opened? So for instance, you know, the first, you know, in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse and the seven seals line up perfectly. And Jesus warns us about like the spirit of the Antichrist, false prophets. Like, do you think that the first seal has already been opened with that? And then the second seal is coming with, you know, wars and rumors of wars if Trump is to be reelected? What are your thoughts on that?
Great question. I personally believe in my studies at this point, and I haven't been persuaded in another direction, could be wrong, but I personally believe that the first five seals have already opened. And I believe that those first, so I do, and I can get an explanation if we want to.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. My last question is like the most important to me because it's really been heavy on my heart. And I feel like in the body of Christ, it's, you know, kind of weighing on everyone else's heart and they have questions about it. You know, with the talk of this COVID vaccine coming out and it being an mRNA vaccine, which alters your DNA and how it responds to viruses, I know that Bill Gates wants to tie it into a Bitcoin or some form of, you know, digital currency, and it will, you know, track our health via like an iCloud essentially, and you'll need it in order to travel. And I know that, like there's a goodness, I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically like a concert, website that you order, you know, tickets on, and they are already saying that they are going to be requiring proof of vaccination in order to purchase tickets for concerts or any, you know, any of those large events. So since the Antichrist has not been revealed, if this comes to pass, since it does check a number of boxes as far as the mark of the beast, could it be the mark of the beast, even if there is not a Antichrist or Antichrist system that has made himself known?
It's a great question. I think a lot of people are asking that question, and it certainly has that feel to it. You know, the mandate everywhere has a terrible feel to it, and it's possible. And what Daniel, a friend of ours yesterday, said on the broadcast is what was really caused my ears to perk up was that the idea is to roll out this vaccination globally and simultaneously. So a global administration of a vaccine simultaneous all over the world. That to me is cause for concern. And so the question is, what are the majority of believers doing right now? Well, the majority, if it's the mark of the beast, some would say, well, it can't be because we're still here. We're not going to be here for the pre-trib rapture.
Right.
And others would say, well, the pre-trib rapture is right at the door if this is it. So it's a very interesting time, isn't it?
It is. It is. Do we need the Antichrist to be revealed before the mark of the beast? I guess is my biggest question, because I know the pre-trib rapture is a false teaching. I'm prepared to endure until the end, as the Bible calls us to do. But I guess my thing is, like, does the Antichrist need to be revealed before the mark of the beast is unraveled or, is unleashed?
It appears to me, yes, in the book of Revelation, because you have the two beasts in the book of Revelation, that that political beast is moving forward. The second beast is causing the whole world to worship that first beast. So there's an appearing, and then that mark is administrated. This may be a prelude to it because the stage has to be set. And when Lucifer comes embodied in whatever body he's going to come in, he'll take reins of that kind of power. So that's my thought about it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sarah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, all the way from San Diego, California. Let's take our next call coming from South Dakota. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Kathy. Yes.
Hello,
it's Kathy. Yes, I've been listening, and all this information you've been giving in Jeremiah about the false prophets and all that. Now I have the question of this. Okay, in Ezekiel 34, in the first 10 verses, Pastor Vincent. It talks about shepherds, the shepherd Israel. And it's, and if you read that, you have, I know, but oh my Lord, between the first verse and the 10th, it tells you exactly what, how God is going to judge this whole thing before it's over. And in the 7th verse, it says, hello?
Yes, I'm here. We're listening.
Therefore, ye shepherds, now this is Ezekiel 34. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. And when you said all these denominations, I think America and other countries as well, they fit into this here, Ezekiel 34. And I know you have such a wonderful platform to warn the people and explain it. Me and my husband, we're in support of your ministry.
Well, thank you, Kathy. God bless you. You certainly have been for the years, and we appreciate it, and we want to keep it real. Kathy, can you imagine pastors of congregations all over this country literally witnessing their congregation starving to death because they never warned them that a famine was coming? They never told them that pestilence was coming and how to really pray up for that divine immune system, which is what we are praying for collectively right now. We are trusting in the supernatural power of God that knit us together in our wombs. He's a God that causes us to begin in liquid form and to become massive human beings. That's amazing. So we believe that God can knit together in our lives, in our physical bodies, an immune system to ward off diseases. Can you imagine never telling the people to prepare for the famines that the Bible says would come, never preparing for the atmosphere of Antichrist? And now pastors are watching their congregations suffering, and they never warn them about it, going to concentration camps or prison or whatever, because they didn't want to talk about these things. We are the Looney Tune people right now, according to them. We are the Jeremiahs collectively, the people that are standing up and saying these things and believing these things. We're the ostracized crowd that nobody really wants to deal with in a prosperous America where everything is okay. You know, you people are a problem to our general well-being in our society. We like it placid and we like it simple, but I can't imagine what would happen to true shepherds, pastors that just ignored all this and did nothing rather than gathering together their flock, everybody coming together, buying some land, planting some gardens, digging a well, you know, getting together, doing work together. They're just going to keep on trusting that the shop right down on the corner is going to have enough food every day, that the ATM machine is going to have enough cash in it every day, that Lowe's is going to be open every day. And even if they were, what about the system you can't buy or sell in without the mark of the beast? And if you receive the mark of the beast, you lose your soul eternally. I mean, these are very, you know, important things, but I think it's a great question and thank you for them. Anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. Like you said earlier, it's, they have given the people a false hope. And these things are recorded in the Bible, and they will come to pass. And so people need to really examine their hearts before God Almighty. And as you press on, the Lord will reveal the truth. And that's what he's doing now through a lot of the watchmen and the true prophets, but they're not very well liked. You're right.
Yeah. And, well, time is going to tell. I mean, it's just time is going to tell. Time is going to tell about the November dream that Pastor Dana had about the fist hitting the calendar and everything that was associated with that. Time is going to tell. See, it's a time of accountability. I've been there. I understand how this works, and I know it's a motive of the heart that God always judges by the motive of the heart. I understand. And I want to say to all the well-intended people that are out there prophesying and speaking, so not everybody has just an ill will to make a bunch of money by telling people what they want to hear. Not everybody's like that. Some people really have an earnest heart and believe, but it's time to be really sober right now. Very sober. If Donald J. Trump wins this election, and the reason I'm going to Washington, D.C. to see what I could do to make that happen, okay? That's why I'm going, because I believe in the 1 Kings chapter 1 story, Adonijah, Solomon. Adonijah set himself up to be the king, but David said, no, Solomon's the king. Bring him down. Let the people anoint him. So we're going to go and do this. If Donald J. Trump becomes the president of the United States, that's awesome. He's going to lead the revolution, because the left is going to go insane. Now that not only did Joe Biden not take the office, but he was supposed to. So get ready, one way or the other. But the idea that everything in America is going to be calm and everything's going to go back to normal, it will never be normal again in America. America crossed the point of no return. This is what the Lord said in 2003. And for 17 years, it has never come back. It's not coming back. The only time America will bring forth and shed forth the light and the glory again is in the millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. The nations of the earth, they're not going to be sending forth light and glory in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're in the end times right now. We're looking at the prophecy known as the book of Revelation. We are witnessing passages opening. And because of a blackout of the majority of people in church, they won't be here when that happens. They have to deny we're even in that time frame. If you believe in the pre-trib rapture, you cannot believe that you're five seals into this prophecy already. You can't believe what it says, that it's happening now. It can't be happening now because we're still here, they say. But the doctrine that they're not going to be here is proven false. So there's a blindness of where we are, setting people up to fall away. People are already beginning to give up the moment they said Biden is the president-elect. People started throwing in the towel. They're all talking about Sid Roth, all of them. They're all talking about how people are giving up. So now the prophetic community is telling everybody, don't give up. We're going to pray and Donald's going to win. Well, if he doesn't, what's going to happen to the rest of the millions that heard all these people say that? What's happening? And are always our best defenses. But gee, I sure do hope that they win. If they don't, are you prepared? If Donald Trump does not win the election, what are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to go on and believe the Lord and go back into some kind of mindset. It's a tough one. Lines are open, right, Kathy? So go ahead.
Okay, here's the way it looks. It looks like God is going to give us some time again because of the harvest that's out there. And there's been a great deception, like you brought forth earlier. But the judgment will also go at the same time. So you're going to see the glory of God, and you're going to see the judgment of God. And then after that, there'll be another Pharaoh. There'll be a different Pharaoh coming in as our president or whatever you want to call it. And then you're going through some real hardships. But like the beautiful part of the whole thing is this: blessed is he that shall endure unto the end, until we move on in to the millennium age when Jesus Christ will be the king. Psalms 91. Praise the Lord.
And Kathy, thank you so much. I've got this other call coming in. It looks like San Diego again. This may be Sarah. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, I'm back.
Okay. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, okay, question for you. So I know that I believe you're of the mindset of the Antichrist coming out of the Middle East. Is that correct? From what I've gathered from, okay. So I know yesterday you were talking, you guys were talking about, or you were talking about the mark of the beast, et cetera, et cetera. And I had come across something a few months back when I was reading scripture in Greek, and the number 666, if you look at it, the name of Allah in Greek, it's the same. It's like the same, like the writing of it is exactly the same, if that makes sense. And I was wondering, I was reading Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I know it talks about the Antichrist coalition. Is Ezekiel 38 and 39 like right before the tribulation as far as like the invasion of Israel, or is it in the millennial kingdom before Satan is cast into hell for good?
Great questions. Now, my wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, she's been studying the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war for nearly 30 years. She's probably the expert on that one as far as her understanding of how that works, when that works. But I love the question about the cross swords is what you're talking about with the Islamic Allah and the 666. That's very, very true. And one of the first people I ever heard talk about that was Waleed Shubat. He brought that information out to us years ago. And so there's truth to it. I also find it very interesting in the Greek, if you look at the number 600, 666, in the Greek, in the concordance, it is the chi z stigma. And that's the Greek word they give to it. And it talks about the number of a man, the number of a name. And the middle, the chi, and then the z, the xi, is the actual name of the president of China today, which is very interesting. The chi, the z, the xi, that's President Z. And the stigma is his mark. And so communism and Islam have had affairs in times past of joining their forces together against a common enemy. And the beast has so many different heads. It employs not just one ideology, but several different ideologies working together towards a common cause. So, yeah, I believe that. And as far as Ezekiel 30 and 39, my take on it, I read that and I never see a shot fired. When I've read Ezekiel 38 and 39, I see the invasion, I see everything, but I never see in the scripture a shot fired. And it reminds me of the book of Revelation after the millennium that the Gog and Magog gather together and they come against the camp and then God wipes them out, never a shot fired again. So I see an invasion, whether or not that's World War III, that's ready to happen. And I do believe we're in a time of war because you go to the four horses. Remember one thing about the seals. When they open and one of those horses leaves the gate and there's an event associated with it, it does not mean they stop riding. In fact, Zechariah tells us those horses will ride to the very end. In other words, if the four horses are the four colors of Islam, which is the white, the red, the black, and the green, those are that's the flag colors of the Middle East. And if they are associated with Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and Daesh and ISIL and, you know, all these different terror groups that began to hit the earth in our generation, well, they will in their course. So there's a lot to talk about there, but great questions. I hope it helps.
Awesome. Yeah, right. Yeah, it does. Thank you.
All right, Sarah. God bless you. You take care and thanks for the call.
You as well.
Thank you. All right. Very good. We've got about 60 seconds and we'll just begin to say goodbye today. What do we do on Thursday? I'm heading to Washington, D.C. tomorrow, and I would appreciate your prayer. I'm going because I'm going to work while there's light and there's something there. I'm not going to bring trouble. Right? I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm going to stand and to see what's happening there, because I believe a call went out this weekend through our pulpit. This is the right thing to do. 71 million people who voted for Trump need to show up somewhere and start standing shoulder to shoulder and to read 1 Kings chapter 1. Read that chapter. Make it your study, and you'll understand why we're doing what we're doing. I had no idea that this million MAGA march was even being employed. And I think it actually happened 5 hours after I preached. So I don't know. It just was a connection. I'll be heading there, taking a road trip, and Lord willing, be back for Tuesday's broadcast. But I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Omega Radio. Don't forget, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a roundtable discussion. Right now, Patricia Joy Xavier is leading that discussion on OmegaRadio.org. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep your head in the heavens. Keep your heart on Jesus. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. God bless everybody.